I mean, are there still families or areas that, I don't know if the alfalfa, if that would be considered monocropping, if, you know, is that, is it left at all?
You know, the San Luis Valley, in the 20s, the land companies in the Santo Cristo land grant brought Japanese farmers from a Central Valley of in California, and they brought in truck farming, and the local people in the communities in Costilla County adapted to that, and they were growing spinach and broccoli and, you know, truck farming. And it was really a vibrant economy. But later on, potatoes dominated, and the truck farming fell by the wayside. At one time, we had the most, the San Luis Valley was noted for its spinach production because it's a high elevation and a cool climate, and we could get two cuttings of spinach. And this was like even as in the 70s and 80s. And that disappeared, and potatoes, there was a glut of potatoes. So there was that. Then Coors, since for generations, has promoted barley for its beer. And so the San Luis Valley has kind of gone through a waxing and waning of crops. And I think it was the best when we had a diversity of crops. But now, through time, I think now it's barley is definitely one of the major crops, and you know, to this day, and alfalfa for I think for New Mexico for the dairy, I think a lot of that is going for dairy production. But you need to double check that, right. Double check that out. Mm-hmm. But definitely, that we still have. In the areas of Costilla County and in Conejos County, we still have a few of those old farmers that were there, but we're getting less and less, and it's being more small livestock raisers as opposed to farmers. My father-in-law was a wonderful bolita farmer, and he did bolita and chicos and fava beans. He's now in his 80s, and he cannot no longer do that. But that was kind of the ideal notion of a subsistence farm. And he had learned that from his father, and it was a, you know, multi-generation farm as opposed to livestock. They did a few pigs, and, you know, they had a couple lambs, but it was mostly the grueling work of on his 23-acre farmstead. And he had his customers came from all over, from northern New Mexico and from the Pueblo area and even from Denver. And part of this cambalache was still alive. And on Main Street in San Luis, there was always people that were coming from New Mexico with chili and with apples, and they traded with the local people for some of the bolita beans because it's a high-elevation bean. So they would trade for bolita beans and, you know, some for chicos. And so they called the people from the San Luis Valley paperos because they were the potato growers, and the New Mexico were the chileros. And they would come in, and some of these, the chileros would go to my father-in-law's farm and would trade. And, you know, this happened until he could no longer take care of his farm, which has only been about 2 years ago. But they would bring chili, not only green chili, but, you know, the red chili, and trade for his beans and for potatoes. And he would also go into New Mexico, and he had his customers there and deliver potatoes and beans and, you know, and some chicos and trade there. So that was really vibrant in the town of San Luis. Still right now, there's an informal, you know, you're calling it farmer's market, but there was an informal cambalache where people would come in, although now some, you know, cash is exchanged. But I think there's still some bartering. But that is starting to fall by the wayside. Now there is a renaissance of the younger people, and we're talking middle-aged, that want to go back to doing, you know, raising chicos and beans. And but they also have their full-time jobs on the side. And this is kind of a thing that they do on the side. And to be a really agricultural producer like my father-in-law, he was up with the sun, before the sun, and late at night irrigating, and we were on an acequia, and he was dedicated to his farm, and he has all, and to prove it, he has all these machinery. It's almost like a graveyard of machinery of the old farmall, which was a kind of, it's a tractor, and the John Deere's and the old tractors. His father went to World War One, and after World War One, he went to a training program in New Mexico. Although he was from the San Luis Valley, he went to a training program in New Mexico and learned the modern farming techniques. So that was it's a dying breed, those kind of guys. Let's see. I wanted to talk about a little bit more about farms, about farming, and I have a little bit of a few numbers if you want to insert this. In the 1870s, there were 150 farmsteads in Costilla County. By the 1880s, the number of farms went down to 73. So within a decade, there was a major decline. The decline was as a result of the land companies challenging the land rights of the local pobladores, or the settlers. Basically, in 1843, when the land grant was given to Carlos Bouvion, he could only establish the land grant by bringing in settlers from northern New Mexico and offering them a plot of land. He gave people deeds, about 100 varas. I don't know. We're not really sure exactly how many acres, but it was not that much. It was probably maybe between 20 and 40 acres of land, depending. And the varas went between watersheds. As part of that, he gave them deeds to the land. When the land companies eventually obtained, after Carlos Bouvion died in 1864, he sold the land to William Gilpin. Then William Gilpin transferred this to a land company, and these land companies fought since the 1870s. They challenged the land rights of these farmers that had come in from northern New Mexico. But by the 1880s, 1890s, that's when litigation was really moving at a strident pace, and that's when all of the land loss started to commence. And that's why, you know, between the decade of the 1870s and 1880s, so many farmsteads were lost. And in place of the farmstead came cattle. And we're talking commercialized ranching. So the Post Guadalupe Hidalgo was disastrous to the multi-generation residents that had been in the San Luis Valley and had come in from northern New Mexico. Basically, the land companies were kicking people out. They were consolidating the small holdings into large ranches. And by 1890, the farmsteads had climbed to 207, with an average size of 313 acres. But basically, a lot of those were people that had migrated in, that were immigrants, had come in and homesteaded. And some of them had purchased land from the land companies, whereas Latinos were being pushed out at this time. Let me see what else we want to look at.